We had several dads reach out, which was really nice. The other thing is there were dads in the NICU with me. So, you know, I could go in the rest area and just kick it with these dads that were wonderful in Arkansas, and we kind of got each other through it.
Hey everyone, welcome to
Attentive Fatherhood
on the Bleav Podcast Network. I'm Bradley Hazemeyer. Each week, I bring you honest and hilarious conversations with men from all types of backgrounds. But at the end of the day, we all just want to be better dads. Hey, attempters. Question. What happens when an Emmy Award-winning news anchor leaves his career to start a new one and decides to write a children's book? All during a pandemic, of course. Well, only Craig Lucy can answer that. But first, welcome to the show and happy Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving? Oh my gosh. Can you believe it? We are only weeks away from Christmas. What? I don't know if you're like me, but this part of the year is always, it's a flurry of activity. It's just craziness going on. There's family negotiations between kids, between spouses. You're trying to figure out which relative's house you're going to. You're dealing with those family dynamics. Family dynamics. Those are two words I never considered when I was trying to pick out a spouse. Thankfully, we have good family dynamics. But that's the complicated game show that no one wanted to be on, but everyone seems to be in. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Family dynamics. I think that's how the opening would go. So anyway, I'm curious. Is this a fun, enjoyable time for you guys? Does this really stress you out? I would say, personally, I'm a little bit of both to varying degrees. Like I said, the idea of family dynamics was something I never considered when I was thinking about having a family. But what's interesting is, as we've lived through this, you know, we've established our family rules, our rhythms, etc. And then we go to a family member's house or in-law's place for a holiday. And all of a sudden, it can be a little bit tricky. And if that's you, I just want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone in this struggle. There's a lot of other men and women going through this, trying to figure it out. And so I was trying to think, how am I going to do better this year? How am I going to get through this season in a better way? It's Christmas. I want to enjoy this time. This is holiday season. So I'm going to preempt with empathy and understanding. That sounds like some just like heebie-jeebie, I don't know, therapy stuff that I got. But here's the deal. Like if we're driving to our in-laws' place, I'm going to do some mental prep, right? My in-laws are fantastic people. My wife's family is full-time family. They're the poster child for family. They talk all the time. They're very involved in each other's lives. That is not how my family is. We'll talk every couple of months and we're great. They talk every few seconds and that's how they have their family. And so I remember about 10 years ago, we went there for Christmas and I was just overwhelmed. There was so much talking and there was noise and there was people coming and going. And I was just like, I got to get out of here. I need some time alone. I need to go for a run. So now whenever we do that, we bake that in. I know, and Kirsten and I both have a shorthand. She's kind of watching me and I'm kind of, you know what? I think I'm going to go for a run this afternoon during nap time or whatever. Kirsten, of course, needs time alone when we go to my parents' place too. And that's, you know, it's just smart. It's just smart. It's not offensive. It's not mean. It's just helpful. Anyway, so there's a little tip, a little road trip hack for your upcoming holiday celebration times. And that can also be just as vital for siblings, not just, you know, parents and in-laws, maybe coworkers even, that kind of thing. But anyway, a little pre-production on your end, a little communicating. What do you need to get through this? Here's what I need to get through this. And I think that's going to help all of us. Recently saw this thing about Jeremy Renner. I don't know if you guys saw this. He plays Hawkeye in Marvel's new series. He's a great actor, really interesting. Love to watch him. He's been in all the kind of MCU, Marvel Universe movies. After his daughter was born, this came out recently, a Men's Health article, and then people picked up on it. And so it came up on my feed. But after his daughter was born, he was commuting from London to LA back and forth for about a year and a half. That sounds awesome for about a month and a half, not a year and a half. And all of a sudden he said, hey, Marvel, you know what? Screw this. You can recast me. I'm not doing this. I'm not going back and forth anymore. I'm going to be at home with my daughter. I need to spend more time with her. I need to prioritize her. Now, yes, he does have a pair of Oscars, but he's also Hawkeye. You know what I mean? He's not Tony Stark. He's not Iron Man. So it's a pretty ballsy move as it's kind of like I would say second or at least or third level character. But Marvel stepped up and they said, yeah, okay, so from now on, any movie actually that Jeremy Renner does, he's got that baked in. I don't know if it's in a contract or an agreement or what the deal is. It didn't go into the specifics, but I thought, wow, that's a good reminder to me, you know, that I need to be prioritizing my kids within my business as well. Thinking of them as an asset, of course, so that I can be at my best. And also, you know, businesses come and go, and that's always hard when you're freelance because you're like, oh, I need this gig. I got to have this thing. So anyway, I don't know. It was something I was thinking about. I wanted to share it with the greater community. All righty, on to the show. So this week, attempting fatherhood is Craig Lucey. This guy is an Emmy award-winning news anchor here in Atlanta, and he recently stepped away to spend more time with his kids, kind of like we were just talking about with Jeremy Renner. He has recently started his own content marketing company. He also just wrote a kid's book called Hold You. We talk about his wife's really complicated second birth. It got scary for a while. They had to move to Arkansas because the hospital there was better. We also talked about how we are experiencing a time right now. Some of you guys can relate to this. Called the sandwich generation. I'd never heard this term before. He's a journalist, so he's smart. But essentially, it's people who are taking care of their kids and also their parents. And I'm not quite there yet, but I know a lot of people a few years ahead of me are in that mix, and he's talking about him being in that mix. And also what the inspiration was for his book. It's a really cute story. His dad's stats, he's been married 20 years, and he has a 6 and a 2.5-year-old boy. So obviously they were married for a while before kids. His book is out and it's available at craiglucey.com and on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So go check it out. We did this interview way back in October, but the book now is out and ready to go. Could be a good gift. Good holiday gift. How about that? Also, a reminder to be following Craig on Twitter at Craig Lucey, L-U-C-I-E. And remember to be following us at Attempting Fatherhood on Instagram. We are just about to pass 400 dads, and that's amazing. Thinking if I had like 400 dads in a room and was like talking and interviewing people, that would be amazing. So thank you guys for everything. Also, a quick reminder, share the show. The whole way that we grow this thing and blow this thing out of the water is you. Yes, you listening right now in your car, on the treadmill, out hunting. I don't know, whatever you're doing, listening to the show, share the show, send the link, repost on social, whatever. Anyway. That's how it's going to be going. Okay, enough of me talking. Time to find out how Craig Lucey is attempting fatherhood. Thank you, Craig Lucey, for being on Attempting Fatherhood. This is great.
It's awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
I got
to
call out the really cool light fixture over your head. It's very modern. It's very minimal, but it's nice.
Right there. I got my crown on.
That's good. It's like an illuminated crown. It's a halo of sorts.
Welcome to my empty home office. We got this house about a year ago, and it's taken a year to get furniture. So apparently, we're told it might arrive next week. We'll see if that actually happens.
No, everything checks in the mail, right? It'll be there next week. Yeah, right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it's funny. I have some friends. The wife is an interior designer, and they ordered a couch, and it took like 6 months. And it wasn't even some super high-end couch. I think it was like West Elm or something. And it was just like the supply shortage across the board, everything from automotive industry to construction to textiles, everything. It's crazy how long it's taking to kind of like get back going again.
It is unbelievable. You know, my wife, she's a vice president with Dillard's Department Stores. And so she's always dealing with the supply chains. And she actually was talking to a friend the other day saying, if you think it's bad now, just wait, it's going to be even worse.
What? No, why? Why is it going to be worse?
Just trying to get that, you know, everything's kind of shifting from China. So all these other countries are getting into manufacturing, and it's just getting that product over from these countries is a real challenge. Getting people just to come to work right now is a big challenge.
Right.
There's a staffing shortage as well.
Yeah, for everything. I had never seen, up until recently, signs that were like handwritten at Wendy's on the like drive-thru that's like, we're hiring today, right now. Just come in. We'll give you a job. It was like, that's how desperate they are. Like, do you have a little bit of time? Do you have like an hour you could just like step in here and do some fries? Like,
do you have a heartbeat?
That's all it takes. Are you alive?
Yes,
that's
exactly.
The new bar. Well, dude, thanks for being on the show. I want to start things off with your dad stats.
All right, dad stats. So I met my wife. We both went to SMU. I met her when she was a freshman. I was a sophomore, and we have been together since. So that was 2002, approaching 20 years.
Wow, college sweethearts.
Crazy. And then we got married in 2009, and we had a great time before we had kids, and then when we had kids, it got even better, but more challenging, as you know.
Yes.
So we have a 6-year-old little girl and a 2.5-year-old boy who's downstairs. Hopefully, he won't just barge in here and disrupt the podcast, but he's—
You know what? If there's a podcast to interrupt for a kid, this would be a totally acceptable one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And then is there thought of, okay, let's keep growing this family? Are you like, we want to have 30 kids and counting? Are you like, we're feeling pretty good. We've repopulated the earth. We've replaced ourselves. I had a dad tell me that one time. He's like, me and my wife have replaced ourselves. One boy, one girl. We are done as humans. Our obligation to populate the earth is finished.
Yeah, I feel the same way. We would have more. I'll tell you this, Bradley. We had a really tough second pregnancy with our little boy, Liam. And my wife had what's called complete placenta previa. So for any dads listening out there, if your wife has this, please reach out to me. I can give you kind of the play-by-play. So he arrived 2.5 months early. We did a lot of time in the NICU. He weighed 3 pounds. I mean, he was like the size of my palm.
Whoa.
He weighed 3 pounds when he arrived. It was really scary. And he was in the NICU for 2.5 months. And I think it was day 6 or 7 of life, he got a bad staph infection. And like, he was lifeless. It was terrifying. So we went through a lot, but we had incredible family and friends who support us throughout the whole ordeal. And now, like, I want to say he caught up for a premature baby. He got back on the scale in about 6 months. And he's completely fine.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Was it a tough pregnancy from the standpoint of like your wife having, like, she was sick and all that? Or was it more so specifically the delivery and everything after that?
It was all along. So she was on bed rest for 3 months. So there were certain signs that started happening. We're here in Atlanta and my wife's from Little Rock and we don't have family here. So we really needed some family support. So we basically shipped the family to Little Rock. My wife was on bed rest. I was working and I'd fly to Little Rock Friday nights, come back first thing Monday morning. And, you know, her parents were incredible throughout this whole ordeal to take care of her. We put my daughter, who was 3 at the time, we enrolled her in a Little Rock school. And thankfully, everything was okay. But I really wanted to share that story here on Attempting Fatherhood, because you might have soon to be dads listening, like you do have. And if they get in this situation, I just want them to know everything's going to be okay. You know, it's scary at like week 24, but he came at, actually her water broke at week 29. He ended up staying in there. So he arrived at 31 weeks.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. It's crazy.
The technology in these hospitals and the NICUs is top notch. And we had the best doctor, Dr. Paul Wendell out of Little Rock. He's Liam's godfather, and you know, hats off to UAMS and Little Rock, Arkansas.
Amazing that, you know, those are the types of stories that I think a lot of times dads can feel like, this is my siloed experience. Like, everyone else had a kid so easy. Like, that, you know, my friend's wife just popping out kids and there's no problem. And it can sometimes feel like we're the only ones going to the NICU. We're the only ones going to the hospital. We're the ones that, did we do something wrong? Was it prenatal? Is it genetic? I mean, I know a number of dads who have had similar experiences, and it can feel very isolating. Did you feel that during this, or did you have other dads like yourself kind of reach out and say like, hey, we've been through something similar, like, you know, that kind of thing?
We had several dads reach out, which was really nice. The other thing is there were dads in the NICU with me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could go in the rest area and just kick it with these dads that were wonderful in Arkansas, and we kind of got each other through it. You know, my at times I had to just turn off my phone. The support system was it was incredible, but it also got a bit overwhelming. So and you know, we just we would play like spa music in the hospital room. Like we had Spotify spa, I swear, playing for 3+ months.
It totally threw off the algorithms of all your hardcore rap.
I'll have a gathering at my house, and you know, we're in Atlanta, so we love some hip hop, and then all of a sudden spa music will play. They're like,
what
is this playlist that you have going on?
Eclectic tastes. What can I say? I'm a man.
You never know what you're going to get.
Genres. I love
that. That's right.
Well, I'm glad everything has worked out and is working out. And your kids informed the book. So tell me a little bit about kind of how that came up. And I love the story behind it.
So my daughter, when she was getting up there and started talking a few words, we as dads and moms, we looked down and said, "Do you want me to hold you?" And then she just kept saying, "Hold you, hold you, hold you." And as I mentioned, when I released this book in my video, we would go to birthday parties every weekend, and I just hear her, "Hold you, hold you, hold you."
From other kids saying it to their parents.
They're all saying it to their parents, like crawling up their legs with their arms up, like, "Hold you, hold you."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Do you want me to hold you?" In fact, I was just at a Braves game like 2 weeks ago, and I was walking to our seats, and a mom turned to her little boy and said, "Do you want me to hold you?" And so now you just literally hear it everywhere. And so I wrote the book. I want to say it's been a year and a half or so. And I was just sitting on it, and I sent it to my sister-in-law. Her major was in creative writing, and she said, "I like it, need some work here and there." You know, like a lot of people, we're stranded during COVID. And I said, you know what? I just have to YOLO. Got to do this.
Got to try it. Go for it. So like, you know, like all kids' books, especially because I'm right in that wheelhouse now of reading, you know, Brown Bear, Brown Bear, and Mubah, La La La, and all, you know, all the classics.
Yes.
Good Night, Moon. What is the takeaway from the book? Is it more just kind of this is a parental experience that we all have, or what is the, you know, what is the meat of it, I guess?
The meat of it is really kind of a reminder for us to realize with our kids, time flies. We got to slow down. We have to really be present with them. With my parents, they're getting older. I need to be present with them. So it follows the child as they're born in the hospital. And we reflect throughout the book, like, I remember leaving the hospital with her. I remember the first birthdays. I remember when she was a baby, those family introductions. And then, the simple things in life that we do with our children, going to a park or going fishing, whatever it may be. Like, so as the book progresses, the dad's getting a little bit older and more gray. And the ending is more about, okay, now I'm older and you've been saying, hold you forever. Now that I'm an elderly person, would you please hold me, take care of me? And it kind of, we did a post on LinkedIn about the sandwich generation, and the sandwich generation are people who are in our, like our age group, 30s, 40s, taking care of their kids, also taking care of their parents.
Mm.
And they're getting pulled in every which direction. You know, with social media, we're constantly on our phones. So this book, when we say hold you, it's like when our kids are saying hold you, put the phone down and just be present with them. And I feel like it's just a great reminder for me.
Yeah.
It's a lot like, since I wrote this, I've had comments saying it's a lot like that book, Love You Forever, which I cannot read that book. I've read it a couple times and it's waterworks for me. And even this book too, I get emotional when I read my own book.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Because it puts everything in perspective, you know. Life moves by so quickly, and we all need to slow down and be present, be thankful for our kids.
All right, guys, let's take a second just to talk about the dad bod. Hey, I don't know if you're someone out there who's dieted before, but the reality is diets aren't the same for everybody. You have biology, you have DNA sequencing in your body that's going to resonate with some diets and not others, and certain parts of those diets and all that. So Calibrate is this new way to approach it. It's a comprehensive doctor-guided metabolic reset that promotes sustainable results through lifestyle changes. Yes, not just skip a meal and you're good to go. Calibrate works because they combine prescribed FDA-approved medication with lifestyle changes. So that improves your metabolic health. They offer a fully integrated program that includes classes, one-on-one video coaching, in-app tracking, and connection to community with members like yourself. They provide a comprehensive wellness plan personalized to your needs, so they make it easy to fit Calibrate into your busy schedule. With the app, you can look at it as often or as little as you like. Personally, I love tracking that kind of stuff, so I'd be looking at it a lot. All the goals you set are personalized and tracked, not just by yourself, but by doctors and coaches. That, to me, makes a lot of difference. So it's time to get back in control with Calibrate. You can get $50 off the one-year metabolic reset when you use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, at joincalibrate.com. $50 off when you use BLEAV at joincalibrate.com. Okay, enough about the dad bod. Let's get back to the show. I've had a bunch of dads on the show. One of them was a good friend of mine. It was actually in my wedding, and he talked about, you know, he was just like, I'm just so struck that you can't go backwards. He has a daughter in college and another getting ready to go to college. And he's like, there is no rewind. There is no, like, you get a second chance, but it's in a different context and with different understandings. It's not like you've ruined your kids, but the time is that you have with them at that certain kind of period will only be that way for that amount of time. And there's no going back. And so is that something that you as a dad, like, try to be better at, or is patience your Achilles heel, or is it you know, like, communication? Like, what is it that you're trying to get better at as a dad?
You always set an example. I mean, as dads, we mess up all the time.
Yeah.
And sure, we can be impatient. Our kids can be wild and rambunctious and break something in the house and just be absolutely crazy. So for me, it's just trying to teach my son things that my dad taught me and my mom taught me. And so I think as your friend said, we can't hit rewind. And there was I didn't even tell people that I was writing this book. I just kind of dropped it. I didn't even really tell my wife until I think a week before, because I didn't
want Beyonce or Kanye. You just boom, there's an album. Didn't tell anybody.
I didn't want too many cooks in the kitchen, you know?
Yep, that's a good idea.
You get too many opinions, and you just, like, you can have a select few involved and just do it the way you feel, like, lead by your heart, just go for it. And my wife said, you know, that last page could have been like the dad waving goodbye to his daughter at college, because she said, When I went to SMU, like, that was the only time I saw my dad, like, full on breakdown.
This is or your wife talking?
This is my wife talking. Like, okay. She said, I wish, like, that last page was you waving to my daughter Adrian going to school, because that, for parents, like, she said, you just wait. For all of us dads, like, whether it's our son or daughter, it's going to tear us up. So there is no rewind. And my wife travels a fair amount during the week. I'm starting to have to travel a bit as well. And our weekends, like, are just the four of us a lot. Like, we are now homebodies. And I think COVID did that to a lot of folks. Like, let's not get a babysitter and go and do a couple's dinner this weekend. Let's just hang out at our house. And if people want to come over, do that. Or go over to our friend's house with our kids. Mm-hmm. Because these days don't last long.
You had mentioned your dad earlier. I always like kind of hearing about where dad's inspiration comes from. You know, I've had dads on the show without dads, you know, from birth, dad was gone. I've had dads that, you know, their parents were around, and then in their 20s, dad divorced, or parents that are still around, you know. So it's this mix. And some people have talked about mentors have been helpful. Some have said their dad, some have said their brother, you know, watching them with their kids type of thing. So where does your dad fit in the mix in terms of, you know, what is something that you really loved from your childhood that he did that you're incorporating with your kids? And then what is something maybe that you have decided, you know, either culturally doesn't make sense, or number of kids doesn't make sense, or whatever, that you're actively leaving out?
So my dad and my mom, I'm very fortunate. They've been together for a long time. I don't know their wedding anniversary, but
I won't tell them. That's fine.
Yeah, I know. So he really embodies carpe diem. I mean, he is up early and at 'em. He's since retired, but an orthopedic surgeon specializing in sports medicine. So doing total knees and shoulders all the time. He would be up late at night reading medical journals and up at 5 a.m. He's run 10 marathons. He is a world ranked king fisherman. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. So he was not a golfer. Last time he played golf, I think he said he was a teenager and got so frustrated with the game, he tossed his whole golf bag in the lake and
done.
Never looked back.
I'm like, out.
The game is too frustrating for him.
Yeah.
Where my grandfather played it, I play it, I love it. But he had us up at 4 a.m. and we were deep sea fishing every weekend. And career-wise, I was just at my my former high school, Bulls, down in Jacksonville, and they honored him and had the most beautiful ceremony. They named the athletic facility after him because every Friday night, he was there for Friday Night Lights for 36 years volunteering. And then he had his private practice, so Monday through Friday, private practice, doing surgeries, Friday Bulls games. Then he would do Jacksonville University football, basketball. He'd take us to those games. I think it was 2 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, JU also named their athletic facility after him. And then on Sundays, he was the head team physician for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he worked his behind off. There was no downtime. He was going after it. And now, since he's retired, he's become a pilot. So it's like nothing stops this man.
I'm bored. I'll be a pilot. Why not?
Yeah, why not? And he's funny because he's always like running through boats. Like he'll hold a boat for a year and a half, and they're like, "Hey, man, check out this new one." And he's really proud of himself because he finally flipped. I'm like, "Dad, if you would just maybe invest in that boat company."
Yeah.
Instead of buying it and then maybe losing some money, he just made some money by selling a boat called a Freeman, which they're like extremely popular now.
Okay.
So he's very proud of himself for that.
Nice work, Dad. Way to go.
Way to go. But yeah, he is the definition of carpe diem.
And then did that feel overwhelming? Like, did you feel like you too had to be going at that speed, or was it just like, that's Dad's thing? All right, I'm going back to bed. I mean, what did that feel like growing up?
I think it's Dad's thing, but I try to do it as well. I'm not the best morning person. I tend to work late at night, so we're kind of opposites. But I've taken a lot of inspiration for the way that he lives his life and trying to do everything, which is why, you know, I had a great news career, and I left news career to start this content marketing company. And he was kind of the master of his destiny. I had to become the master of my destiny, and so... We're capable of doing so many things. We're only on this planet for so long, so we have to YOLO.
That's great. That's great. And then what about, like, was there anything that, you know, maybe he was too busy, or maybe there was something, you know, that you thought, okay, that was fine then, but that doesn't really fit our family. That's not really, you know, working for us. Anything like that you could think of?
Yeah, my mom, she'll listen to this, I'm sure. She'll say that he was not present, that she raised us. But that's why weekends were so special. I mean, he was working pretty late at night. He'd have to travel. And so with us, I think, you know, my wife being a working professional, and she's got a wonderful job, we both kind of have to step up to the plate, but also slow down so that we can be there for our kids. Like, this morning, last night she said, "Can you please set your alarm for me for 5 a.m. because I got to get a flight to go to Tampa." So she was out the door super early. I take the kids to school, and so we just kind of have to match our schedules and do what we can to take care of these kiddos.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me because I was watching at least half, I haven't watched the whole thing, of the Lulu Rowe documentary that's out on Netflix. And it's like, you know, multi-level marketing and all this kind of thing. And one of the points that they made was, you know, we look at, like, I'm 41. So I think we're in a similar demographic. I think, I don't know how old you are, but I would say
40.
We're
close.
And so, you know, our parents, like, you know, we see, like, my dad worked, he was the breadwinner, he's an engineer, very traditional. Mom did everything else, sounds similar to yours. And then you have, like, our generation, and you have a lot more of this, like, almost balance, it seems like 50-50 in the home, or 60-40, a lot less 90-10 as it kind of was around us. And one of the things that this Lulu Rowe documentary pointed out was, all this, for the first time, you had the highest level of educated women, college educated, they had degrees, everyone's telling them, "You're a woman, you know, go on your own, do your own thing, be your own person." And then all of a sudden, culture says, you just had a kid, throw on the brakes, stop everything, now you're a mom. And it was very confusing for women. And I think, you know, whereas before that, there was just an expectation that, like, whenever you have a kid, that'll be done. Like, you know,
right.
So I think now we're entering into this very different phase of, like, what is my role as a dad? What is my role as a mom? And I think really it's almost individual families that kind of create those definitions. Whereas before, I think it was kind of cultural. Like, my wife and I split a lot of stuff. I'm almost like completely the chef at home. I cook almost every meal. That's me. She never knew how to cook. She makes a fantastic black bean burger. And I'm not just saying that because she's in the other room and probably listening, but she does make a really good black bean burger. But so we've kind of through our marriage figured out what roles there are. And so, you know, I imagine with you as well, like shifting gears from going news, that's a very specific schedule. I hosted a pop culture news show for a couple of years in Phoenix, and that schedule was like 7 to 3, which was just kind of an odd schedule. It wasn't a morning show, so that was good. But then you now mix that in with what you're doing and starting your own business. How have you been able to manage the kind of like work-life balance at home as far as roles and responsibilities and as well just like in your own mental, like just staying sane?
Yeah, well, yeah, I read your bio and yeah, you can relate being on TV and hosting and kind of living that lifestyle. When you're, you know, for all of the soon-to-be dads listening, I would say, just take advantage because you'll look back and be like, what did I do with all that time?
So much time. It's so true.
And you have to kind of just let go of your selfish lifestyle. So to answer your question, that work-life balance, it is kind of why I had to take a step back from news. It was not going to be sustainable. News is 24/7. You're 41, I'm 40. I didn't want to get in the position where I'm 45 and my kids are a little bit older and someone's telling me, no, you can't have Christmas off, or no, you can't go to your dad or mom's big milestone birthday. So right. I had, and there's been, as we all know, a huge transition in just the news business in general.
Right.
There were always aspirations to go network, and my friends who are correspondents, I mean, I saw one in the airport. I'm like, how are you doing? He's got 2 daughters. He's like, oh my God, I'm wiped out. He's been on the road for 200 plus days of the year. And I was thinking, I just can't do that. I work for WSB TV here in Atlanta, and Atlanta is a top 10 market. I moved around a lot, but I had to just look 15, 20 years ahead to make sure that I could be present with my family and be more of in control of my life. And so, I think with my wife and her demanding schedule, and she launches a bunch of private labels for Dillard's department stores, she's doing some really cool stuff with influencers, like, and they're kind of micro influencers. They might have 75,000 followers, and she is just crushing it and doing a great job. And she's able to go and do those things, whereas I can be here and run my business in Atlanta and be the guy to take the kids to school. But we have a nanny, fortunately, who comes in at 10 in the morning. And so from 10 until about 6:30 or 7, I've got to just grind and hit it hard. There are not enough hours in the day. And that's also why I work late. Like, I get my kids down and then I'll work till 2 in the morning. Now I can't really do that because my daughter started at a new school and we got to be up at 6:30. So, but you get it. I mean, we have to just work it together, figure out the schedules and figure out the balance, and make sure that one of us can drop everything and take care of our child if they need to, if they get sick, take them to the doctor or whatever it may be.
Yeah. I mean, and there's also a difference, obviously, between being present and being there. You know, like, there are plenty of, I think, parents who are around their kids, but, you know, on the phone, like you were talking about, you know, or, you know, head is elsewhere because of stresses or because of work or whatever. And so, you know, so I find some dads, and this is also like love language stuff too, but like some dads will, you know, it's like Monday through Friday is like nothing, like no kids. But then Saturday through Sunday is all kids. Like we pack it all in and it's like full, like, you know, this goes in the drawer and we're staying at home, you know, whatever. And then some are more like, you know, let's interact. You know, I take my kids to school, I pick them up. There's a little during the week, kind of a smattering. It sounds like that's kind of more you, like more like a little at a time, a little at a time. And then the weekends obviously are sacred, but.
100%. I mean, my wife, they like to go horseback riding on Sundays. That's our deal. So
that's awesome.
The girls go horseback riding. My wife grew up as an equestrian. And so Liam and myself, we all pack in. We watch them do their riding lesson. And then this is up in the Cumming area. And so Sunday, we went to this great restaurant called 7 Acre Bar and Grill. And she took my phone away. She's like, no phones.
No phones. Because, I like that.
I mean, as you know what, you're running a business and you're on call like nonstop. So she's like, no phones. We're going to enjoy this lunch. And yeah.
She sounds like she's more disciplined in that way than you are, maybe.
100%. Yes. Yeah. What do you guys like to do on your weekends?
You know, it's a mix of, we have a tradition of Saturday morning Chick-fil-A. So I get up early with my son. Let me rephrase that. He gets up and then I get up. He wakes up around 6:15 or so on Saturdays, sleeps in during the week when we all have to get up. And then on the weekends when we can sleep in, there's something just unwritten in the genetic code of a child that they wake up early on the weekends. But
always.
Yeah, so he and I'll go grab a little Chick-fil-A for everybody, come back, and then everybody else is waking up. My daughter has probably woken up and redressed 5 or 6 of her dolls at that point and done 3 or 4 arts and crafts. She's like me, man. She just wakes up, boom, ready to go. My wife is like, you know, she's like a canal that like slowly shifts down. And by about 11 o'clock, she's talking and it's great. She's talking. Now I joke that my wife is the highest maintenance, low maintenance person ever. Like she doesn't need a big diamond ring. She doesn't need to drive a Porsche. She doesn't need her time at the spa, but she needs 10.27 hours of sleep. If it's 10.3, it's too much. She's groggy. It's like, you know, so I told you.
Oh,
you know.
I mean, yes,
and
that.
And so there's all those. No, it's 2 scoops of sugar. If it's 1, it's coffee's horrible. It's 3. It's too sweet. It's crazy. I always joke with her. I'm like, you would be horrible at the end of the world. Like if the world is ending, I'm picking someone else for a companion to get me through it.
How old is your daughter?
8.
8. Okay.
So she's 3rd grade, and so lots of learning going on there for everybody. You know, it's tough. Your daughter is how old?
6.
Oh, 6. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're starting to get into the socialization of kids not being nice, or kids, and they don't even know they're not being nice a lot of times. Like it's not really this nefarious kid who's the punk down the street who's just like out to get everyone. It's just that like this kid doesn't know that you say that and it's super hurtful. And so, you know, a lot of what we're moving into now, especially with her, is like trying to add empathy to understanding a situation, like where that kid's coming from, while at the same time allowing yourself to feel hurt. Not like, well, you shouldn't be mad because there's kids in Africa who aren't eating. You know, like you have to have the room to do that. But you also, it's helpful to know that, like, you know, that person is frustrated and they're angry and they're taking it out on you. And they're not even angry at you. They're angry. And it's like so much of that is from my wife's conscious approach to mental health and life and all that. And my wife definitely makes me a better husband. But I'm just like, man, she's getting tools that I wish I had when I was a kid.
Yes.
You know, that stuff was never, we just didn't talk about that. That was one of the things that I don't think anyone told my parents to be talking about that. So it wasn't like they were actively like, no, we're against this. But there was just not that conversation or culture around like kind of digging into why you're feeling this way, or, you know, just kind of talking about feelings, I think was just not a thing.
Yeah. And that's, I was watching NFL football this weekend, and the NFL had a spot about, you know, people who were players who were dealing with some mental health issues.
Yeah.
And it was a good commercial just saying it takes all of us. And that is something that was not addressed, to your point, just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we're getting a little hint of that, you know, since your daughter's 8, we're at 6. When she comes back from school, she'll say, oh, so-and-so called me stupid. And I'm like, well, why did they do that? Oh, I don't know. I said, you just don't hang out with them. Go the other way.
When I was younger and I was going to be a dad, everyone's like, you're going to love being a dad. It's going to be great. And these were some of the things that I expected, like these types of conversations. But I didn't get here until now. It's been like 8 years. So, you know, the first couple of years, I was like, this is crazy. What have I done? Am I broken? Am I a bad dad because I'm not loving this baby thing that's in the crib over there that we're waking up at all hours for? Am I wrong? You know? And I imagine for yourself too, having the, you know, adding the mix of hospital, ICU, moving to Arkansas. I mean, that's a whole nother level of like, wow, like what is going on?
It certainly was. I remember before we had Adrian, my friend, he's a year older than me. He has two kids. I called him. I'm like, I'm a week out from Adrian being born. I'm like, man, I'm kind of freaking out. Like, is there a book? Is there a book I can read? He's like, book? There's no book. You are effed, brother. You learn on the go. And I just remember him telling me that. It's so true. There is nothing that you can read to prepare you for what's to come. But I love this attempting fatherhood because at least we can help them along the way a little bit and share our experiences.
Absolutely. And that's it. Like almost every dad I've talked to is like, there is no book. And if there was, I probably wouldn't read it anyway. I mean, that's the reality yes. of like, you know, and my wife has these great text chains with her friends that allow her to kind of, you know, kind of be like, what do you guys do about this situation? Or what are you doing here? Kind of encourage each other, tell funny stories like this funny thing happened. And I don't really have that. And I think it's just a combination of, no, well, that's not true. I have a couple college roommates and we text, but we just don't text that frequently about this type of stuff. So attempting fatherhood has become kind of this concerted effort to get right to it. Like I joke with some, you know, some dads that I've known for a long time. I'm like, we never would have just sat down at lunch and me be like, hey, what's something your dad did that you didn't like? Like, what? I thought we were, let's just talk about the weather or something, bro. Like, chill out, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, my text chains with my buddies, there's nothing about fatherhood in those text chains.
Yeah.
Just goofy, ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, so it's nice that, you know, and I feel like there's more opportunity than ever before to plug into those communities, from podcasts to Instagram accounts. And I feel like a lot of the anecdotal stuff is really helpful for me. Because, you know, there is no like, you know, 1, 2, 3, ABC, because even each kid is going to be different. I'm sure you've experienced that as well.
As you know, boys and girls, they are just totally different animals. That's one thing my dad told me a long time ago is, you know, I think my mom was upset and he's like, son, you know, they're a completely different animal. It is like a lion and a horse. There are no similarities here. And you just kind of, you know, if they act out, then you go and do your deal and vice versa.
Yeah. Yep. There is, I joke with my wife. I'm like, you know, I will never understand you because you don't understand you. Like there's no secret magic. I'm going to love you. I'm going to recognize that we're different. I'm going to try to, you know, something that I've really become, more conscious of, I guess, the longer we're married. This was something early in our marriage that was really something I just didn't expect. And that was, things can be hard and that's okay. Instead of me being like, well, then I guess I just shouldn't travel. If it's hard every time I go out of town, then maybe I just shouldn't go out of town. And it's like, no. I'm not saying that you shouldn't travel. We need to make money. You need to do that. But I also want you to know this is hard. And I'm like, yeah, but if it's hard, then I shouldn't be doing it. Like I don't, and trying to understand, like it, like you said, it is a different way to look at things.
She is a lucky woman.
Well, it's because it goes the other way. It's like, you look up, you're like living in a palace. You're like, I think I'm going to behave myself because I kind of like it here. You know, it's that kind of thing. So,
exactly.
And then do you have, you had mentioned that you've got kind of this text chain with your dads. I'm always fascinated kind of like, Does your dadding, your like, let me be a better dad, does that just come out of your own sense of like, I should be the best person I can? Or is there someone other than your dad that you kind of look to, like a sibling or a friend or a coworker or someone that you're like, oh, that's a good approach. I'm going to try that thing. Or is it just kind of, it's built in you and it just comes out?
I think as dads, we're always learning from, if we're fortunate, from our own dads, our grandparents. It's funny when we have people over at our house, or I go to a friend's house and seeing the interactions between the wives and the kids, like we're all in this together.
Yeah.
We are living the same thing. And like, we might see a little exchange between a friend and his wife and we're like, how did that go over for you? I just saw that. He's like, yeah. It's not going to be a great night in our household tonight. So I saw that coming. Yes. And I'll tell you know, Instagram's funny too. Cause my wife's like, oh, look, they're living this beautiful life. But I know, like, right before this picture was taken, they were going at it. And that's Instagram's so funny because it's just like people post, and I swear they're just like making others jealous. Like, hey, look at me. I'm in this extravagant place in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And, you know that as a couple and with kids, like, they're going to have their moments at the extravagant place in Jamaica, you know? So it's Instagram's funny. I think people need to take it with a grain of salt and not read too much into what they see on Instagram.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something very interesting about social media too, is that can be another place that brings comfort and community. It can also be a place that brings jealousy and, you know, what's wrong with me? I'm broken. We don't have this life type of thing. My brother is like, I'm just done with Instagram. Like, he's like, I just can't do it. And, you know, for me, a lot of what I do, and yourself as well, is like, it's what we do is digital. So our marketing and ourself have to be on there. So, you know, I find that to be, that can be difficult. I've unfollowed father accounts because I'm like, you're living a life that either you've got your professional photographer or whatever, or maybe that's really happening. But either way, it's not okay for my mental health to keep watching you and your, you know, your model wife and your kids who were on, you know, Baby Gap and, you know, in your sauna in Sweden. It's just like, it's right. Too much. It's too much.
It is too much. Yeah. My brother-in-law, he did the same thing. He's like, I'm done with Instagram. I can't deal with it. It is a necessary evil for you and me, because that is, we do a lot of social media strategy and take over companies' accounts and things like that. My wife's on it quite a bit. I will just check in periodically because my friend, one in particular, sends me some amazing content on Instagram. So it's a nice little escape. I would recommend, though, that you put on the time limit. I have a 15-minute time limit. And so when it hits,
that's a good little best practice. I like that. Well, that's great, man. Well, tell us a little bit about how we can get the book, and then I'm going to have you leave us with some dad advice.
Well, I appreciate the shameless plug here on the book. So,
of course,
but it's available. If you just put in Craig Lucey on Amazon or Hold You Book, same with Barnes & Noble, it's there. You can go to craiglucey.com, and we have some email marketing set up there as well for some updates. But I will tell all the dads out there, so here's some dad advice. I have not talked to one friend in particular. He's really closer with my older brother. They went to UNC together. He reached out. It's like, hey, man, I saw you were writing this book. It's been a long time since we connected. Would you like to go to the Braves game? I'm at the Braves game with him. He's like, man, I want to write a children's book too. We already kind of have it written. How did you do that? I had someone else that I haven't talked to since I graduated SMU in 2004. So for dads out there, just observe your kids. There's a million different ideas that you'll just notice that could be a good children's book. And it is a lot of work, but I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun. You reconnect with people. They're like, holy crap, you wrote a book. My good friend who is, he's crazy. Like, he was in the crypto space super early. He is a carpe diem guy.
Okay.
He's a car guy as well. He actually, Peter Saddington is his name. Peter Saddington, he had the Bitcoin Lamborghini. He bought a Lamborghini with Bitcoin.
Yes.
And it was like a whole PR play. We did a video on him, like a day in the life of Peter Saddington. He literally told me years ago, like, Craig, just write a book. Since I wrote a book, you reconnect with people. It's a fun experience. But yeah. Dad advice is just go for it. Do it.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it may be, go do it. You know, make the most of your time with the kiddos. I'm with Liam being 2 here in Atlanta, as you know, we're landlocked, so I can't go deep sea fishing. But I'm gonna make sure he gets good at playing golf or tennis or something, a sport that he can play well into his 60s. So dad advice is just YOLO, just go out and do it.
Well, Craig Lucey, thank you for attempting fatherhood.
Hey man, Bradley, it's a pleasure. Since you're just south of me in Atlanta, if you're ever in this area, let me know. Let's go grab lunch or dinner.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Or maybe we'll all go to the Georgia Aquarium and we'll do some deep sea fishing there. Maybe we can catch us.
Yes, we can do that. We can do that as well. Well, Bradley, thank you so much. Congrats on your Attempting Fatherhood podcast. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Attempting Fatherhood. My whole hope with this is that we build a community that encourages dads and that brings new information to the table and gets you excited about living your life, doing what you're doing. If you have felt that way, please make sure you rate us on Spotify, on Apple. Just rate us, give us some stars, hopefully five, and make sure you share this. That's equally important. It's a great way to build community, to share this information with other dads, you know, start a text chain, whatever. That helps us, that helps you. We grow this community and all that. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you're following us on Instagram @AttemptingFatherhood. Again, thank you so much and have a great day.